The changing guards at Buckingham Palace. Christopher Robin went down with Alice. Let me make you groan with, we're not quite sure what sort of disease Alice was, but Christopher Robin went down with it. No, he and Alice went down to Buck House. And a little later we gather he had a question. Do you think the king knows all about me? Sure to, dear, but it's time for tea, says Alice. That came into my mind as I was thinking about the enormous contrast between our first and second readings. The story of an individual called Tabitha in Aramaic, Dorcas in Greek, or if we wanted to translate it, gazelle in English, and the story of a great multitude that no one could count, singing praises to God. It's sometimes a relief to me when I have a problem remembering someone's name that the psychologists say that at any given moment, most of us could only name about 250 people we knew who were lined up in front of us. So it's quite a stretch of the imagination to believe that God knows us all by name. But that's a problem we create by imposing on God our human limitations, a mistake we're forever making one way or another. Because things are impossible for us, we find it difficult to believe they're possible for God. Let's just look at those stories for a moment or two. Why does Luke bother to tell us this tale of Tabitha the gazelle? It's a remarkable story. Even the apostles were not famous for raising people from the dead. If it was always happening, I guess we'd have more stories in the Acts of the Apostles to share that with us. But according to this story, it happened at least once. Why is that important if people couldn't expect it to happen all the time? Well, for a start, it's reminding everyone that when Jesus commissioned his friends to continue his work, to be his body in the world, it was important to show that they were going to do the things he had done. And this is where Tabitha's name matters. Do you remember Jesus healed a little girl using a very similar word? It wasn't her name, but when he spoke, he said, Talitha Kumi, meaning little girl, get up. It's one of those rare times where Mark, who's the only one to tell the story, preserved an actual Aramaic word that Jesus spoke, instead of translating it into Greek. Jesus says to her, Talitha Kumi, and we can assume that Peter would also be speaking Aramaic, and says to Dorcas, Tabitha Kumi. There is another parallel to those two stories. Jesus also asks everyone to leave whilst he raises his little girl, and here also Peter puts all of them outside before he prays for them. Here's a story which ties in the work of the church through the apostles with the work of Jesus. And that's what we need to grasp again during the Easter season, that although Jesus has risen, he was handing over his work to his followers and empowering them in every way they needed to spread the message of God's love. But look how individual this is. Peter may have preached to thousands on the day of Pentecost, but the real power of God is seen in the way his love touches individuals. Luke needn't have told us this woman's name. After all, most of his readers were unlikely to know of her. But by naming her, he is saying something important about God's relationship with us. It echoes Jesus' words about there being joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. There's a children's hymn which has the verse, there are hundreds of children, thousands, millions, and yet their names are written on God's memory. There are hundreds and thousands, millions of children, but God knows everyone, and God knows me. As some of you know, I'm addicted to Peanuts cartoons. There's a lovely sequence about a new kid who arrives in the neighbourhood. His parents are so angry that people are reduced to numbers that they've changed their surname to 95472. The boy is called Five, which actually is short for 555. He has two sisters called Three and Four. But even that doesn't solve his problems of being known. He complains that his teacher keeps calling him 595472, when apparently the accent should be on the four. There's a truth in all that. We've just had elections, and when we come to elections, we risk becoming numbers, votes, not people. At national elections, at least we become percentages and swings, not people. One of the most profound messages of the Christian faith is that we're not just numbers, but individuals known and loved by God for what we are. That's the point of doing names at baptism. They are the names in the Book of Life, as the Book of Revelation calls it. And yet, and here we come to the second reading from Revelation, we're also part of that great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages. We get things out of proportion if we privatise faith in a total way, again a risk we often run. Because it's true that God's love for us is as individuals, but we forget that because we are God's children by adoption and grace, we're also part of a huge family of brothers and sisters. And that means we have a restricted vision of the glory of God's love. You'll have heard some version or other of that story of a person arriving in heaven and being shown around. He sees a very high wall, can hear people the other side, on the other side of it. And he asks the angel who is behind the wall. And according to the joke teller's prejudices, the answer is, that's the Catholics, or the Protestants, or some other group, because they like to think they're the only ones here. We all tend to limit the extent of God's love. We need to be reminded constantly that we do so. We also need the encouragement that comes from knowing we're part of a big group. At a time when people are constantly telling us that less and less people go to church, it's good to be reminded that apparently more people go to church than go to football matches. And when people counter that with the fact that millions watch football on TV, we can also reply, there are millions who believe in God who don't go to church. But even in that pictures of the hosts of heaven, there is still a reminder of our individual status. The elder tells John that the people are wearing white. They are those who have come through the great ordeal. They are a crowd made up of important individuals. There's another strand which connects our two stories. In the first one, we hear about people's grief being turned to joy when Tabitha is alive again. And in the vision of John, he's told that these people he's looking at will have all their sorrows washed away. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. At the time when we're hopefully still filled with the joy of the Easter message, we're reminded that joy and the end of sorrows is the promise of the gospel. You probably know that story of the man walking along the seashore, picking up starfish, throwing them into the sea. Someone asks what he's doing. He explains that they've been stranded by the tide and will die unless they get back into the water. The questioner says, but there are thousands of starfish, you can't throw them all back. But the man replies, I know, but I can at least help some. There are no end of the things and people that we can and should pray about. We can't do it all, but at least we can help some and trust that God, who knows everyone by name, who sees each sparrow when it falls, as Jesus said, knows and cares equally for those we pray for and those we don't. Do you think the King knows all about me? In a while we come and receive personally our Lord in bread and wine. So the answer is yes. But we also say that we do so with the whole church throughout the world and joining in the eternal song of heaven. So we know also that the King knows all about everyone, and like the Good Shepherd, knows them all by name. Today there are the annual parish meetings. What we need to affirm is that every single one of the people on the electoral roll, and the handful of others who forgot to hand their forms in and need to be added, all have a part to play in being part of this body of Christ. And we have so much to do together. But we only achieve it when every one of us is playing the part to which God has called us, one by one.